few verses there, but I believe the Lord has laid a few messages upon my heart to give to you out of this one chapter. So I want you to keep your Bibles open this morning, because the verses that we are going to read, we are going to dissect them, break them into pieces, and learn from them. And so, Psalms 23, when you find it, stand with me, please. Psalms 23, verses 1 through 3. For the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Let's read those one more time. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake." And this morning I'm going to use for a subject, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here in the house of God. Father, I would ask you, God, to anoint the vessel of clay as we would endeavor to preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would anoint their ears to hear. And help me to say everything that you would want me to say in the way that you want me to say them in. And may nothing I say, God, hinder the moving of your Spirit. Lord, guide my words precisely, and may they be directed to the hearts of the individual. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone shout amen.
Amen.
You may be seated this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. Without a doubt, this is one of the most loved chapters in the entirety of the Word of God. This one chapter has brought encouragement and strength to untold millions throughout the years of time. And that is one thing that I love about the Word of God. It brings encouragement, it brings stability, it lifts you up when you are down, it brings comfort to your heart when your soul is so down and out. The Word of God can lift you up above the shadows and plant your feet on higher ground. That's one thing, folks, about the Word of God that I love so very, very much. I love the fact that when you're down and read it, it can lift you up. There's nothing no greater than the Word of God.
Amen.
And this one chapter has brought comfort to hearts throughout years of time. When you go to a funeral, many times they read this one chapter. Why? You know, during a time of heartache and sorrow, them words of Psalms 23 has lifted up the hearts that hang low. This is a great chapter to love, to read, and to get it down in your spirit. But I want you to notice some things in this great chapter that the Bible said. Number one, the Bible said, David said, made this statement. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I want you to notice the terminology used by David, which was directed by the Holy Spirit. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He didn't say a shepherd. He said, "My shepherd." That is a personal shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. Even though, church, listen to me, there are untold millions of people that have been born again throughout this world. But even though there are millions of people that are born again, He still got time to be your personal shepherd. He's a personal God. He wants to be involved in your life, in your everyday going on. He wants to be involved in what you're doing and where you're going, everything about your life. He wants to be involved in. Why would God, who created the heavens and got worlds to run, want to take time for you and I? Because He said, "I am your personal shepherd." Oh, glory to God. That's the kind of God that He is. He said, "He is my shepherd." A shepherd cares for the sheep. A shepherd loves the sheep. He's got time to care for you. He's got time to love you. He'll watch over you. He'll protect you. Why? Because he's doing the duties of a loving shepherd. Bible days. A shepherd, there were two types of people. You had hirelings that watched the sheep, and you had shepherds that watched the sheep. A hireling would be this. I come up and I'll give you $25 to watch the sheep while I run the town. But near that hour that I'm gone, if a wolf came into that sheepfold, that hireling ain't going to risk his life for those sheep because he's a hireling. And the difference between a hireling and a shepherd is that a shepherd will go right in to that sheepfold and run off that wolf or lion, whatever it may be, because he cares for the sheep. And listen to what I'm about to tell you. You are not an afterthought, and you are not a burden to God.
Thank you.
Amen.
Woo! You're not a burden to him. He don't get tired of you coming to him in prayer. He don't get tired of you coming to him and calling out upon his name. That's the part of being a shepherd. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to call upon his name. He's got time. He'll take time out from, amen, building worlds and putting things together. He'll take time just for you. That's the kind of God that he is. You're not a burden. You're not an afterthought. The Bible says, well, the apple of God's eye, hallelujah, to the Lamb. He loves you with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. He's not just a shepherd. The Bible calls him a good shepherd. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Amen.
The Bible said he was a good shepherd. What makes him a good shepherd? The Bible says in John chapter number 10, verse number 14, Jesus speaking here. He says, I am the good shepherd. Let me back up to verse 13 to back up what I said a while ago. He said, the hireling flees. Verse number 12, let me back up and read 12. But he who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because that he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. But Jesus said, I am a good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What makes him a good shepherd is that he laid down his life for the sheep. Let me shout it from the housetop this morning. He died for you. He bled for you. He took a whipping on his back for you. The beard plucked out of his face. The crown of thorns. All that tells you and I this. I am the good shepherd. I laid down my life for my sheep. I'm not a hireling. I died and bled for you. I care for you. I'll rescue you when the devil comes against you. I'm the good shepherd that'll walk right in the middle of your floor and pull you up out of the mouth of the lion, because I'm the kind of God that I am. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the kind of God that he is. He's a good shepherd. He cares for you. Don't you think for a moment that he don't see you crying at home? When your heart's burdened and you're overwhelmed by things of this world and you're crying out at home, he'll stop everything that he's doing and focus his attention right there in your home, because that's the kind of God that he is.
Amen.
Amen.
He ain't just going to run off. He's going to be there and love you and cherish you. I remember many a night being overburdened with things. Get up early in the morning, 2 or 3 in the morning, because I'm overwhelmed, and begin to pray. Tears flow. I don't know what I'm going to do. All of a sudden, I feel the sheltering arms of God sweep in and sweep me up in his arms. All of a sudden, my cares are rolled away. Hallelujah. And he's there wiping the tears out of my eye.
because I am the good shepherd. I care for you. When you weep, I'll be there. When you call unto me, I'm going to be there. He's not a God that's a far away. He's a God that's near. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
There's times that we cry because our heart's heavy. Nobody, we can't just go to anybody with our tears because they don't understand what we're going through. Listen to me. He understands what you're going through. The Bible says we don't have a high priest that's not been touched. He's been touched by the feelings of our infirmity, meaning this. I don't care. I know what you're feeling. I'm not a God that's a far away. I'm near to you. I know your heart and I feel your pain. He's there to lift you up above the shadows and plant your feet on higher ground.
Amen.
He says, I am a good shepherd. You see, David, who wrote this great psalm, he was writing this psalm from the perspective of a sheep to a shepherd. But David knew all about being a shepherd because long before he was a king over Israel, he was a shepherd of his father's sheep on the backside of his field. And the Bible said one day that a bear came among the fold, and David said that I came and wrestled the bear and tore him apart. Can you imagine a little bitty man the size of me going in and fighting a big black bear of some kind just to rescue that little sheep from a big bear? I can't see myself doing it, but David did it because he cared for that little ewe lamb. Oh, come on, and church, I got news for you. In the eyes of God, that is exactly what we are. We are sheep. And folks, we need a shepherd. If the sheep don't have a shepherd, they will be scattered. And the problem today in our churches that we've got hirelings behind the pulpit. Amen to God. When trouble arises, they leave the sheep and go find them another church. All because some kind of a happening takes over the church. Church, let me tell you, we don't need hirelings in the church. We need pastors and shepherds behind the pulpits.
Amen.
Amen.
David said, I've fought the lion and the bear. You go to the book of Amos. The Bible tells us in the book of Amos that he had a sheep. And the Bible said that he looked there and he saw the lion come among the fold. And that lion had in his mouth two legs and a piece of ear. That was all that was left of that little ewe lamb. And the Bible said that shepherd went in there and rescued those two pieces of legs and that piece of ear out of that lion's mouth. You thought, my Lord, what good is a piece of leg and a piece of ear is going to do as the rest of him's gone? But listen to me, church. Your life may be exactly that. Maybe the devil's come into your home and come into your life and you feel like you've been ate away by the lion. There ain't nothing left in your life but two legs and a piece of ear. But I've got news for you. God don't need a whole lot to work with. All he needs is a leg and a piece of ear. He can take that leg and piece of ear and put life in it. Resurrected. Oh, glory to God. Somebody ought to shout. He don't need much. He just needs something to work with. If it's just two legs or a piece of ear, that's enough for the shepherd to use and rescue you and bring life into you and give you joy in your heart again.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Two legs or a piece of ear. That's all he needs. Why? Because he said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Yeah.
Woo! He says, I am the good shepherd. You don't have to beg him to come to your side. All you gotta do is whisper to him.
Yeah.
Woo! You don't have to beg him or prime him or you don't have to offer him no money or bribe to get him to come. Just call on him. Just call on him. Just call on him.
Yes.
Because he says, I'm the good shepherd. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Well, hallelujah to the Lamb. Are you feeling what I'm feeling this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to shout it. I want to tell about it. I want the world to know it, that I serve a God that cares. He's a shepherd. He's not a hireling. I love you, saith God. I want to rescue you. I'll watch over you. I'll protect you. If you'll call upon me, I'll come running towards you. David made the statement, I am, and he's my shepherd. Then he made this statement, and I shall not want. That one statement, I shall not want, covers everything we need to live spiritually, physically, materially, and emotionally. Listen to me. We are the people of God, and we need not lack any area. In any area of our life. Psalms 37 verse 25 says this. David said, I have been young and now I am old, and yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. What David was saying is this. He said, I was young. I used to be a young boy. Now I am an old man. But in all my days, I've never seen the righteous been cast aside. Everything I've ever needed, my God has supplied. That brings you back to that scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Paul said, But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. If God has to rain manna down from heaven, if God has to cause water to come out of a rock and part a Red Sea, I'll do it because I'm Jehovah Jireh. I am the God that will provide. I'll be there for you. I'll give you everything you need. But my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory.
Amen.
When the children of Israel was in the red, out there in that desert land, that howling wilderness, the Bible said, now I want you to get this picture. The Bible called it a howling wilderness. Howling. H-O-W-L-I-N-G. May not say that exactly right. That wilderness was blowing hot air. It's dark. Now I want you to get 3 million Jews out there.
Amen.
How are they going to eat? They don't have guns to hunt down rabbit and deer. God provided them manna. God called it angel food. Every morning they go to bed. When they wake up in the morning, they didn't have to beg God. They woke up with manna on the ground. Now, do you realize how much food it would take to provide that kind of food for 3 million Jews? One man done the math. He said to feed 15 of 3 million Jews, it would take 34 freight cars. 34 freight cars with 15 ton of food on each car to provide enough food to feed 3 million Jews. Well, you put the math to that, you come up with about, I don't know, 500 million ton of food a day, and double that on the weekends. Hallelujah, to feed that kind of people. What are you saying? I'm just saying this. If God can pump, amen, 500 metric tons of food into a wilderness to feed 3 million Jews every day of their life, God can surely take care of your need. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You are just, amen, the eyes of God. You're the apple of his eye. If you've got a need, he'll supply that need. If you've got a thing going on, he is there. He said, I am Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. If, amen, the children of Israel needed a drink of water, and folks, they spit that water, that rock, and 3 gallons of water begin to pour out of a rock to quench the thirst of 3 million Jews. He can provide for you.
Yes, God.
That's right. Amen.
He can take care of you.
Amen.
But listen to me. A lot of times, him providing care for us depends on our obedience to him.
That's right.
God told Abraham, the father of faith, he said, Abram, he said, take your only son, the son of whom thou lovest, and go to a mountain that I will show thee and offer him there for a sacrifice. Abraham waited 25 years for that son. When Abraham was 75 years old, God told Abraham, you'll have a son. Your seed will be like the sea, the stars in the sky in multitude, as the sand on the seashore multitude. Your seed. He told him that 75. Well, now he is 100. His wife 90. Her womb's dead. And God said, now it's time. Well, church, let me just tell you. Your womb may be dead and your loins dried up, but if God gave you a promise, it's going to come to pass just like He said it would. Because He's not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He needs to repent. Shall not do all that God said He would do. Out of the loins of Abraham and the womb of Sarah come the nation of Israel. Isaac was his firstborn. Firstborn. He loved that child. Waited years for that child. Think about it. 100 year old. Sarah 90. And they're having kids. How much love would that man have for that child? But now, at the age of 12, God said, take that boy and offer him up. Abraham, all that night, I can promise you, that night before they took off on that journey, that night he looked up in the stars and began to mock at him. I thought God said your seed was going to be as the stars in the heaven in multitude. And he would roll over and look at the sand on the ground, and that sand began to mock at him. Thought your seed was going to be as the sand by the seashore in multitude. Now he's telling you to offer up your boy. Listen to me, there's times that God speaks to you that this things around you are going to mock at you and tell you it's not going to happen. But Abraham the next morning got up before daylight. Amen. And God, he done, amen, settled in his own heart. And God, if I kill him, God will raise him up. Oh, I'm telling you, Abraham walking by faith. And when he got to that mountain, he told those two lads that were with him, you stay at the bottom of the mountain, hold the donkey, while me and the boy go yonder to worship. And he got on that mountain, built the altar and laid Isaac on that altar. And he raised up his hand. I'm sure that hand was shaking. Tears coming down his eyes. And right before he stabbed his boy, there's a voice came out of heaven and said, Abraham, stay thy hand. Don't touch the boy. And he said, he looked over there and saw a ram caught in a thicket. And Abraham said, Jehovah Jireh has provided. At that moment, listen to me, at that moment, God became Jehovah Jireh to Abraham because of his act of obedience. Church, if you don't want to know God as Jehovah Jireh, you better learn obedience. If God tells you to give something to somebody, you best obey, because when you do, He'll become a Jehovah Jireh to your life.
Amen.
I remember some years back, me and my wife, we had $120 to our name, no doors open. We weren't working. We was evangelizing everything. And everything shut. I mean, we couldn't pry a door open. And I'm nervous. I'm sweating. Didn't know what was going to do. And I was at a prayer meeting. And there was a young man there that night. Was home from Bible college. Was on break. And God spoke to me during prayer meeting. Said for me to give him $100. All I had was $120. And that was it. Well, I knew it was God. It was the same voice that told me, called me to preach. But I ran out there, called man and told her, man, and said, well, God told you, you better do it. So we wrote that check, not grudgingly, just wrote it out, took it in there, handed it to him. Put it in his hand, said, God bless you. Lord told me to give that to you. And left me with $20. 2 days later, phone began to ring, got a month worth of bookings.
Amen.
One act of obedience. Double that $100. Now I'm not, folks, I'm not telling, that's just an example. But when God tells you to do something, He might tell you to pray for somebody. It pays to obey God.
Amen.
When you obey God, He becomes Jehovah Jireh. Abraham would have never knew Him as Jehovah Jireh if he hadn't offered his son up as an obedient act of service. The highest form of praise to God is obedience.
Amen.
Remember that.
Amen.
He said He's my God. David said, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Folks, you don't have to want.
That's right.
We serve a God, this guy. Let me just stop and tell you, I know this economy is drying up. I know this world is bankrupt. But church, God's heaven is not dried up. God's heaven is not bankrupt. Heaven is still full of resources. Heaven is still full of supplies to meet your every need. If you'll trust and obey, for there's no other way. He'll lead you down by the still waters. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Amen.
Praise God. Somebody ought to shout this morning that He's come to supply your every need. Listen to me. Heaven and the world are completely opposites. This world is bankrupt. Heaven's not bankrupt.
Amen.
What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about in 2 Kings chapter 4. There was a widow woman. Creditors come to take her kids. She went to the man of God and said, they come to take my kids as slaves because my husband owed a debt. Don't know what we're going to do. And the prophet said, what do you have in your house? She said, I ain't got nothing here. Well, I got except a little pot of oil. He said, that's all you need, honey. He said, go borrow you some empty vessels from your neighbors. Come back, shut the door, and begin to take that little pot of oil. Begin to pour in those vessels. That oil represented her need. The Bible says she began to pour in those vessels. Give me another vessel. She poured. As long as she had a vessel, the oil kept flowing. But when she ran out of vessels, the oil stopped. Now my question is, did heaven run out of oil?
No.
Earth just ran out of vessels.
Another vessel.
As long as you've got a vessel, what is that saying? We are that vessel. If you present yourself to God, there's going to be an unlimited supply of the oil of God. And when she filled those vessels up, the prophet said, go sell what you need and pay your debt and live off the rest of it. And church, I want to tell you, heaven's got plenty of money. Heaven ain't run out of yet. There's plenty of oil. There's plenty of resources. All you got to do is present your bodies to Him as a living sacrifice, and God will provide your every need.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. I'm preaching better than you shouting this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
I'm just listening and enjoying it.
Hallelujah. Listen. The devil will try to get you to look at other shepherds, hear other voices, and seek other counsel. All of it looks very religious and very spiritual. Yet only Christ and Christ alone can meet your every need. Listen to this. The Christian's greatest battle will be following Christ and Christ alone. The greatest battle the Christian has is following Jesus and Jesus alone. Because the devil will present to us other avenues, other voices, other things that look good, sound good, but they're not good.
Right.
Everything that says it's Christian is not. Everything that preaches is not from God. You can't just listen to every voice. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. And it don't take me long when I turn on the television and listen to a preacher if that's God's voice or not. When all they're doing is wanting in your pocketbook, that's not God's voice. When they're trying to sell you water from a holy land. Folks, I got news for you. I don't need some dirty water from a Jordan. All I need is a little bit of olive oil slapped on my head. That'll do all that I needed to do. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Save me $20, I'll send you some muddy water from the Jordan. Folks, muddy water from the Jordan, that comes right from a mud hole out of the front yard. 9 times out of 10. If you want to give me $20, I'll get you a little muddy water. Hallelujah. Praise God. How stupid can we be?
Well, come on.
We are, church, I'm telling you, God's people can go from glory to goofy in a matter of seconds. One minute we got our head together, the next minute we got our head stuck in the sand like an ostrich. It's time that we wake up and allow God to deal with our hearts and quit listening to everything that's out there. The Bible said in the end time, there'll be people coming masquerading as my saints, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing, glory to God.
Amen.
Well, I better let go of this. We'll have oil everywhere. Praise God. why. How do you know his voice?
That's when you fall on your face and you tenderly listen to him. I've learned to recognize his voice. I could be in a crowd of 1,000 people, God speak to me, and I hear it.
Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb.
I want to know him. I want, when he just whispers my name, Nathan, I want to hear him. Samuel, Samuel.
Yes, Lord, thy servant here speak. Glory to God. I want to tell you there's a place you can get in God. When you're in a place that's noisy and loud, God can speak to that heart and you can hear it above all the noise and racket.
It may just be a whisper, but that whisper's loud enough to wake Samuel up out of a dead sleep.
Amen.
When Elijah was in that cave, and the fire and the earthquake and the thunder was rolling, he never heard nothing. But when that still small voice came, that still small voice was louder than the thunder.
Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Praise God.
David said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What are green pastures? Green pastures speak of freshness, richness, a place never exhausted. I remember growing up out here, and when the grass got dry, they would take the cattle and move them to the greener part of the field and block it off. So this dry grass can begin to flourish with green grass again. Cattle love to feed on green grass. Well, church, sheep want to eat green grass. They're not goats. Goats eat anything. Goats eat dead limbs, dry limbs, rocks, it no dirt, it don't matter. Goats eat anything. But sheep will only eat green grass. And church, we're not goats. The Bible said in the end time, he'd separate the sheep from the goats. And folks, I got news for you. There's a lot of goats in the church because they eat everything that's shoveled to them. But sheep only eat from green pastures. And let me tell you what this is telling us. God will lead you into the green. He said he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That pasture that he's makes you lie down in, it'll never dry up. It'll never turn gray. It will never turn brown. It will always be green and flourishing. Oh, what are you saying? I'm saying the word of God, hallelujah, is the green pasture that he leads you into. Every day of your life, this word is rich. It's fresh. It's anointed. It's of God's Holy Spirit. If you want to be led in the green, I love just lying down my head. I don't even have to read it sometimes. Just lying my head down in the book just a little while. It begins to comfort my soul because I know what this book is. It's not a dead book. It's not a, amen, it's a living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing soul and spirit and joints and marrow. I'm talking about the word of God. Amen, the word of God is planted in the forest of eternity, intertwining its roots around the rock of ages. The B-I-B-L-E, 'tis no book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It's the desire of God to lead you into good waters, good pasture. It's the desire of God for you to understand this book. The Bible said, he maketh me to lie down. Meaning that it's his desire to reveal the scripture to you.
Amen.
You don't have to go through this life not wondering what this means. Take the time to get in it. He'll reveal it to you. There's revelations in this book that will boggle your mind. Mm-hmm. And it's revelations of Christ. Everything is about Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Somebody just shout, amen.
Amen. Amen.
He said, he leadeth me by the still waters. Waters speak of refreshment. When I'm dry, I drink water. When I'm thirsty, I drink water. This world, church, is a desert. But in the midst of a desert, God will lead you by some waters. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Spirit. And church, amen, when the children of Israel were in the desert up there, out there in the desert, the howling wilderness, in Numbers, amen, God said to Moses, tell the people to take their stone, take their little rods, and begin to punch it in the sand. And as they begin to dig in the sand with their rods, They, God said, tell them to sing that song, spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well. And church, the Bible says, when they begin to take their little rods and begin to dig in that water, begin to dig in that sand, singing that song, all of a sudden, that sandy shore begin to produce some water. What are you saying? Even in a dry desert land, if you'll take some time and effort to get in the Spirit and say, spring up, O well, in a dry, thirsty land, God will provide enough water to quench your thirsty soul.
Amen. Well, this is a Friday night message. I'm afraid. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Water speak of refreshment. All you've got to do is put a little effort. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost. Right. Refresh your soul. Listen to me. The Holy Ghost isn't dead. He's still active.
Amen.
He said he'll lead you by the still waters, didn't he? Still waters. Listen to me. Still waters run deep. Still waters run deep. Listen, nothing more noisy than an empty drum. The silence is golden that the Holy Spirit brings to the soul of the saints. Oh, did you hear me? Still waters run deep. You take an old empty 50-gallon barrel out there, hit the side of it, just it just makes all kinds of noise because it's empty. But fill that thing with water and hit it, it don't make a sound. There's nothing like the Holy Ghost that can calm the noise in your life by bringing soundness and quietness. He said, I'll lead you by the still waters. And the Bible said he's a dove, meaning I'm a peaceful Holy Ghost. When your life is troubled, when your life is noisy, when everything's falling apart, just get in the Holy Ghost. He'll steal your noisy waters and give you peace and joy in your soul.
Amen.
He leads you by the still waters. I'm closing here. But I got one more part of verse 3. He said he maketh me. He said he leadeth. No, two more parts. Let me finish this up. He said he restores my soul. Now the world with all of its problems will wear us down and wear us out. But the Lord is constantly restoring and healing our lives. Listen, the word restore means this, to return to life or bring back from the dead. Uh-huh. Restore means to bring back to life or bring back from the dead. Thank God that He's a restoring, restorating God. When you go astray, He's willing and ready to restore you. When your life is falling apart, He can restore you. When the world wears you down and wears you out, He will bring healing and restoration to that life.
Amen.
Then He said, He'll restore my soul. Oh, there's nothing like restoration.
Amen.
I know what I'm talking about, folks.
Yes.
When God came and restored my soul after being lost in a world and backslidden on God, there's nothing greater than being restored by God Almighty. And immediately He puts that ring back on your finger after He kisses that neck. Let me show you this. I'm hurrying. I really am. But when the prodigal son returned home from his backslidden condition, the Bible said the father ran to him, fell on him, kissed his neck, didn't he? First thing he done was kiss that neck. What is that saying? The Bible said Israel was there. They had stiff necks. That stiff neck spoke of rebellion. When the father fell on his neck, he broke off his rebellion. He fell. First thing he did was fall on that stiff neck and kiss it and broke off that rebellion. Then he stuck a finger. He restored him back, put a robe on him. What are you saying? When you come back to God, you know you're just as good in the eyes of God than everybody else. You've been restored back to life. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Amen.
Last point. He said, He leadeth me by the paths, leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The path of righteousness is a path of pleasantness and of peace. Only God knows the right path. God's path will bring you health, peace, and stability. But Satan will do his best to deceive you.
and me into fallen paths that look peaceful, they look pleasant, but they end in destruction and they end in hurt. The only path that brings rightness is God's path. Amen. Did you hear me this morning? Yes. There are a million paths out there, but they lead to destruction. The only path that leads to health and life is that narrow road.
Amen.
Listen, there's a narrow way and a broad way. That's what your scripture says. They're, both roads are the same distance, but different length, width. One's wide, one's narrow. Both same length, meaning they both lead to eternity. One road leads to hell, while the other one leads to heaven. The difference between the two roads, like I said, one's narrow, one's width, one's wider. What are you saying? I'm saying that that wide road is a more traveled road. It's a more lit up road. It looks better, it looks prettier, and most folks travel on it. There's no laws on that road. There's no prohibitions on that road. You can do whatever you want to do on that road. But on the narrow road, there is laws. There is things you can do and things you can't do.
That's right.
It's not as well traveled. But this is the road that God called us to walk in. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll lead you through the right path. I'll lead you through the path of righteousness for my name's sake. He does. You know everything that he does for you in your life, he does it for his name's sake. He blesses you for his name's sake. He prospers you for his name's sake. Everything that he does for his glory, for his honor. Listen to what I'm saying. When you do what's right, it blesses him and brings honor to him. Mm-hmm. Folks, I don't know about you. He saved me from hell.
Amen.
He saved me from hell. He didn't save me from going to hell so much. He saved me from hell. I was living in hell. Maybe not a literal burning hell, but my life was hell. My mind was hell. Everything about my life was hell. I was falling apart, going nowhere fast. Family didn't really want much to do with me, and I couldn't blame them. He saved me from hell, but he saved me from going to hell as well. He's leading me every day by the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Why would he do all this? Because he's my shepherd and I shall not want. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Somebody give me my hand this morning. He's a good shepherd. You know, the Bible calls him the good shepherd. Then in Hebrews calls him a great shepherd. Then in the book of Peter, he calls him the chief shepherd. What are you saying? What are the different aspects of those? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The great shepherd is the God that watches over you. But the chief shepherd, he said, when the chief shepherd shall appear in all of his glory, that's the coming king. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Amen.
Folks, stand with me this morning. Throw your hands up and love on the great shepherd this morning. Praise his name. Father, we love you. We praise you this morning. We give you praise this morning. Those of you this morning that would love to come, I want to pray with you. Those of you that need a touch of God, that just need a God to touch their eyes. You need the good shepherd to work in your life. I want you to come to this altar this morning.